Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from the bright red desk on the Upper East Side of the Isle of Manhattan in the city of New York. And a shout out to Stacy, who I was just talking to a few minutes ago, and she goes, I think I need to hang up because you need to go prep. And I'm like, I don't need to prep. I'm totally cool with this. This is great. Let's have fun. So forward we go with this wonderful energy of the stars and what's going on and where we're going. And I did prep, but just so people go, she doesn't prep. I prep. But we have an interesting week. We're still in eclipse season. We're still letting the eclipses wane till we get to the new moon next week. The full moon next week on the 7th, the 6th of September. So this is a really big week because we are we're growing an understanding of the eclipse energy. So our job, should we decide to accept it, is to go, wow, this is really cool, or wow, this is not so much fun, and to really kind of work with it on a slightly different level, all right? So what we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk to you about the weather and how it affects your life, meaning the planets in the heavens and what they're doing and what's going on. And we are in eclipse season, which, of course, everybody's really kind of tuned into. We got to watch the eclipse on Monday last week. Hopefully you got to see it somewhere where you were or see it on the news. And it did seem like a moment of kind of everybody coming together. I was particularly impressed with the flamingos in Tennessee in the park that were a little crazed. They were really having a hard time with this whole darkness into light, light into darkness, darkness back into light. And, of course, eclipses hit at 28, 29 of Leo, which makes that a sensitive point. So it's going to be sensitive for the next 2.5 years. Whenever something hits there, it's going to wake it up. But right now, because we have this big old grand trine in fire, we have Saturn and Uranus and Mars and Mercury and Venus, as well as the Sun and the Moon, all weighing in with the note of destiny and inviting it to transform. If we want, we can even throw Chiron in because he's at 27, so he's hanging out there. And pretty soon Jupiter's going to get there. So we're watching this point as a highly sensitive point. And so we had the eclipse. It kind of energized the energy. Kind of think of it as carved a little pinhole in the sky of the heaven. There's like a little thing. So similar to like when you walk in the room and the rug's a little rumpled, whenever a planet goes over this thing, the little point, it goes, ooh, wait, I just tripped in the hole. If you think of it that way, that's how it kind of feels because it's going to reactivate the hole, maybe make the rip a little bigger in the rug or in the sky, and kind of give us a little bloop of energy as we go forward. So this week, as we're going from full back to new, or new to full, rather, keep wanting to make it new to full, this week we're going to feel the energy of the planets as they move forward and kind of activate stuff, and they're going to trigger it. And, of course, first up is Mars because he's the big guy, and he's moving pretty quickly. And he is today in the node of fate, and in a couple of days, he's going to get to the eclipse point of 28, and when he does that, even though the sun and the moon have moved on, he activates them, right? So kind of think of it as there's the hole in the rug, and he's going to get there, and he's going to step in it, and that's going to happen on the September 2nd, okay? He's going to get to 28. So he's going to trigger it then. He also, because he's flying around in the sky, he's going to trine Uranus, who's also at 28. And that's going to happen on September 2nd. And we're going to do a little bit into Labor Day, too, because as then he finishes that 28. And Mercury, of course, is going retrograde this week. So Mercury's in Virgo, backing up. And she goes back into Leo. He goes back into Leo on August 31st. And Mercury and Mars meet up on September 3rd, right? And then Mercury is at the eclipse point on September 4th. So Mercury and Mars hits Uranus, comes and gives Mercury a little present, and then Mercury gets the eclipse point and drops it in the hole, right? So kind of, you know, the rug's now getting a little messy, right? So we've got Uranus, which is the planet of chaos and change, sudden and unexpected. We have Mars, which is the planet of action. First, he's whacking the node today. Then he's going to trine Uranus. Then he's going to whack Mercury. And then last week, Venus went into Leo. And so she's going to creep up on the hole. And she's going to get there on the 18th of September when she gets to 28, Leo. And, of course, she's going to get to the node before that, which we'll talk about another day. But the other part is Mercury is stationing at 28. So when he stops on September 4th to station, he's parked right in the hole, right? He kind of stops and stands in the hole. So this little hole, and you have to think about where the hole 28 is in your chart, 28 Leo, and then anything talking to 28 Leo is going to have, you know, there's going to be a planet there, you know, kind of shouting out, hey, let's look at the eclipse. Hey, let's look at the eclipse. Hey, let's look at what you have to look at. Let's understand things. And, of course, Mercury going retrograde wants to tell us the secrets. And so he will. You know, I'm a little tired of all the secrets. You know, we had the Tiki Boys, and they were kind of interesting. And it was interesting. We had, you know, I do a class here in New York City on Tuesdays, and we found the chart of the white supremacist movement in the United States, which was kind of fascinating. We were talking about it and said, hey, let's look at this chart. And so, you know, we kind of went looking on the internet, and we found a chart that is from 1861, March 21st, 1861, and it was the controversial Cornerstone Speech that was given March 23rd, 1861 in Savannah, Georgia, by Alexander Stevens, the Vice President of the Confederate States. And that chart has this huge T-square in it. Now, T-squares are action-oriented energies, and it's at the mutable degrees of like 4, 5, 6 of the mutable signs, which, of course, is the ascendant of the eclipse chart. It's 6 Sag. So this T-square has an out-of-bounds Eris. Now, Eris, of course, is the goddess of discord. We just found her in 2005. But back in 1861, right before the firing on Fort Sumter, right as Lincoln was being inaugurated and as the states had seceded already from the Union, so a bunch of them had left, this guy stands in Georgia and gives this speech. And the speech said, our new government is founded on exactly the opposite idea of the United States of America. Its foundations are laid, its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural and normal condition. And, you know, there was a bunch of other stuff in the speech. But so we've got this chart, and we know it was noon on March 21st, which was a Thursday. And we look at that chart, and then we compare it to the eclipse chart. Now, that chart has in it, and the out-of-bounds Eris, way out-of-bounds, in the planet of Pisces, in the sign of Pisces, which is the sign of slavery, and it's square to Uranus at 8 degrees Gemini, a speech saying we're going to divide and we're going to make a new nation based on this, and it's square to Saturn retrograde at 4 degrees of Virgo, which is where the Sun and Mercury are now, and Mercury stations. You know, Mercury was going backwards. It's going through the 3, 4, 5. The eclipse degree was 5 Sagittarius, filling out the leg of the T-square, making it a grand cross. Now, in the eclipse chart, the rising sign fills this T-square out, but that T-square in the supremacist chart is now in a grand trine in fire. Uranus and Saturn are trine to each other, and Eris is in the trine, too, and they're all trine to the node of fate. So it really is an interesting time for all of us to go back and look at Saturn and Sag. What are our beliefs, trine Uranus and fire, that we need to transform, change, or take new action around Aries, because Uranus is in Aries, and they're all trine to the north node in Leo at 28, 29. And what is our vision of sovereignty? Of course, that's right now by the fixed star Regulus, which is how are we sovereign in our own right? And I've had a number of clients talking to me about their sovereignty, you know, what they need to do to be their own person, whether they need to take on their brother or they need to deal with a bully or they're having trouble at work with their superior who says to them, you're insubordinate. And it's kind of like, insubordinate, where did that come from? You know, we're working together to raise money for a charity we believe in. What? How am I insubordinate? The energy is so potent right now for all of us to stand in our true heart place and our true power place and to understand what we truly believe in. And I know, at least in my office, we had a lot of reactions to the Tiki Torch Boys. And I went to see Dave Chappelle after my show last week, and he was talking about the Tiki Torch Boys. And I was kind of like, yeah, like, you know, what is going on? And it feels a little surreal sometimes. It feels like you're in kind of some warped movie. But then we go out of that and we go into the eclipse that says, hey, we're all together in this. We're all part of it. The path of the eclipse cuts the country in half, really pretty much along the Mason-Dixon line. And it went through one of my, I didn't validate this, but one of my friends said to me, it went through all the Lincolns, Lincoln, Omaha, Lincoln, Nebraska, Lincoln. There were a bunch of Lincolns apparently on the path of the eclipse. So we have to understand that part of what we're working with here is really interesting energy. And it's about each of us facing our sovereignty and looking at our sovereignty and saying, what am I personally responsible for? Saturn stopped last week on Friday. And he said, we are going forward now. You need to be crystal clear on, Saturn's crystal clear, rules crystals, and he's crystalline. You need to be crystal clear on your beliefs. You need to know what you believe in, why you believe it. And it is a process of education. You know, it's not like you're going to necessarily leap out and go, okay, I'm completely clear. It's to understand what's right, what's wrong, what you believe in, what you're taking personal responsibility for, and what's the path of your heart, your life, and how does that work? What is that heart path? And I think as we work with this energy, as we work with this moment where we all kind of go, wow, really? And then we go out of wow, really, with craziness, with people with torches, Kmart torches, no less, Kmart putting a sign up saying, please don't use these torches, they're for backyard barbecues. And then we go into the eclipse where we see everybody gathered together in a common experience where we all understand we're all part of the same team, we're all on the same earth, we're all standing under this majestic spectacle of the light, the sun being eaten up by the moon, the angry, fiery sun swallowed by the soft, gentle night of the moon, by the soft feminine. How do we want to work with this energy going forward? How do we want to create with it? What do we want to do with it? It's a very profound time. We're at a major crossroads. And as this eclipse gets triggered, boom, 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 Mars on the node, Mars on Mercury, Mercury stationing on the node, Venus on the node, Venus hitting the eclipse point, more and more consciousness, the personal planets, Mercury, Venus, Sun, Moon, Mars, are all clustered here saying, so what is it you actually believe? And more importantly, why? Meantime, we got the trine from Saturn saying, we're going to work with those beliefs. We're going to build things with those. Trine Uranus, we're going to break through. We're going to give you a new vision. We're going to give you a fiery vision of what you want. What is your passion? What inspires you? Where do you need to break through and look at things and say, I don't believe that anymore. I don't understand how that can be. What is that? What's that about? Where did that come from? And we know where it came from. We went and looked at the chart of, I mean, obviously slavery's been around forever, but as a country, having been built on that, and of course there were indentured servants. You know, I had family. My part of my family came over as immigrants, and they were indentured servants for 7 years, where they served their passage, and then they got set free to go do their thing. In the country, or they went and built the Erie Canal. You know, there's a long history, but it's what's our vision of our country? What's our vision of ourselves, our own home, our own local environment? And each of the people I've been talking to in my client base, they're all working on their sovereignty. They're all working on trying to understand what their place is in the world and what it is. I had one client, she ran into her, you know, her firm was embezzling. And she got fired because she caught it, or she was catching it, and so they fired her. So she She kind of filed with the EEOC. She had the documentation of the embezzlement. And she's like, hey, it's a publicly traded company, people. This is not a good thing. And so they're stepping into it and saying, hey, that's not good. So the people who were bad lost their jobs. And so there's a sense of she stepped up. Very fast karma turnaround these days. So you catch it, it gets caught really quickly, whether it's on a webcam or a UCam or whatever. You're seeing it. You can't not see it. Now, I was talking to one of my students, Rosie, and she was saying, well, you know, Anne, when you crack open the belief system, I mean, I live in liberal New York. I hang out with liberal people. I totally get it. But she's like, when you crack the belief system of people that are really pretty stuck in their structures, then they have to start questioning everything, right? And then she talked about a friend of hers who believed that there were unicorns somewhere in the world. And she's like, so we didn't really want to, you know, what else do you believe in? What else have they told you you believe? So it's understanding we're also with Saturn and Aries, Saturn and Sagittarius, we're having our belief systems. Now, if those of you who believe in unicorns are upset now that you don't, there aren't any unicorns in the world, I have to apologize. And it was Rosie's fault, okay? And Rosie, I love you. But at any rate, the Saturn and Sag has this whole imagery of, well, what is your truth? What is your truth? What do you believe in? What is the source of your beliefs? And more importantly, why? And then finally, do you still believe that? Or do you want to, trine the Uranus, change that belief up a little so that it allows you, North Node and Leo, to go towards your heart path? And I would suggest that's the plan. You're supposed to change those beliefs up and figure out what the heart path is and how to get there. On that note, we're going to go into the moons. I know I'm running a little late, and we're going to have to go fast now. Everybody get your pens and papers. All right, so today the moon's in Scorpio on the 27th, and it goes void tomorrow morning at 5:28 with a square to Mars. And it's void all day in the morning through 3:48 p.m. when it goes into Sag, and it's in Sag Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it goes void at 12:42 a.m. on the 31st with a trine to Uranus. Now, that Sag moon, Monday afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, is excellent, excellent, excellent for getting stuff done. I got a pile of stuff I'm sending out the door then. And so that's a great moon for doing things. The moon is then void Thursday morning until 4:18 when the moon goes into Capricorn on Thursday. On Friday, it's in Capricorn. On Saturday, it goes void with a square to Uranus, which is a separating aspect and a little hard, at 12:30 in the afternoon. The moon is void Saturday afternoon, the 2nd, and it goes into Aquarius at 4:06 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, and it's in Aquarius on Sunday and on Monday, and then it goes void with an opposition at 1:15 a.m. on the 5th. On Tuesday morning. So the beginning of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you can get a lot done. The Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday is all separating or hard aspects. So those are good times to let things go, get rid of things, depart from things, release things, say I'm done with it. And, of course, we have a lot of energy in the sky over this period of time. And I'm going to include the moons and stuff through Labor Day, and I'll do them again next week, but we do have Labor Day on the Sunday. And I will be doing the show, but some of you are going to be rolling. And, of course, they're really interesting moons this week. So that's the moon energy. Of course, Sagittarius is your visionary moon. Capricorn, back down to basics. Uranus, freedom, creative, groups, activities, and interesting times. So hard aspects after Wednesday. Sun goes from 27, on August 27th, got to read the right column, goes from 4 Virgo to 12 Virgo. So the sun is in early Virgo, the Virgo decant, which is all about organizing service and getting things wrapped up and together. Sun has a contraparallel with Juno on the 28th, meaning you're going to be challenging in your relationships, a semi-square to Jupiter, which is a little stress about how we're partnering. It is parallel to Mercury, and right now in the sky it's combust with Mercury. So people are really going to think they're right, you're wrong, or they're right, you're right if you agree with them. The sun has a sesquiquadrate to Eris, which gives it a whole energy of arguing and difficulty. And then it has contraparallels all at the back of the week, the 2nd to 3rd, to Jupiter, Neptune, and Pallas Athena. And then it's kind of just in a mood to argue. So I would say to you, you know, don't go away with people this weekend that you don't like. If you go away with people you like, it's still going to be a bit of a stressful weekend. But if you go away with people you don't like over the Memorial Day weekend or the Labor Day weekend, it could be a little difficult. Mercury, of course, is retrograde. He's going from 3 Virgo all the way to 28 Leo. And he's going to station to go direct on the 4th. I'm sorry, on the 5th of September, he stations at 7:30 in the morning to go direct. On that day, also on the 5th, Mars goes into Virgo. So we've got a lot of activity with Mercury. Now, Mercury, of course, likes to tell secrets. When he's in Virgo, he knows where everything is. You remember Virgo, you know, you have a little kid with Virgo, and you say, so where are my keys? And they always know right where you left them. So Mercury going backwards from 3 Virgo to 28 Leo is very much about a transformation and a shift and a change. It's got a trine to Juno, which is talking about partnerships on the 27th. And then it has a sesquiquadrate to Pluto, which is a little bit of a stressful energy on the 28th. It has aspects because it's tracking with the sun because they're both kind of traveling together. It has the same aspects the sun has about arguing with the groups and arguing with the dream and arguing with the vision and arguing with everything because he's contraparallel those planets. It's not a particularly optimistic weekend. So don't look for optimism. Look for realism and don't be too real. You know, Virgo can be a little bit of a downer. It can be a little bit of, we used to call it Debbie Downer, when he's in a bad mood. So he's kind of in a bad mood, and he's a little cranky. He goes into Leo on the 31st, he backs up into Leo, to station in a couple of days on the 5th. But on the 3rd of March, he links up with Mars, right? And we'll do Mars in a second. But Mars is really active this week, and Mercury and Mars is a fight. It's expressing itself at the height of creativity, and Mercury Mars is also right smack dab on Donald Trump's 1041 ascendant. So we can expect the Twitter feeds to be a little wild and crazy on September 3rd or thereabouts, you know, the day or two before, because Mars we often feel before it gets there. And Mercury in Leo is, you know, I'm the king and I'm going to say whatever I damn well please. And Mars in Leo is, I'm going to say whatever I want to please because I'm the queen, I'm the king. So the kings are fighting. So expect Twitter duels. Who knew that we would be talking about Twitter duels? Venus goes from 2 Leo to 10 Leo. So she's entered Leo, and she's in the Leo decan. So she's playing and having fun, and she's kind of like coming into this drama. She's not there yet. She's thinking about it. She's kind of moving along. And she doesn't have a lot of aspects this week. She has a biquintile to Neptune on the 31st, so she's a little happy. She can make some money this week. She has an adjusting energy with relationships on the 28th. And she has a semi-square to Vesta on the 31st, so she can kind of clean out some stuff. She's not interested in being submissive on the 1st because she has an aspect to Lilith. And then she has a bunch of quintiles, interestingly, on the 2nd and the 3rd. So she's quintiled a bunch of planets, and so she's in a really good mood. So it's kind of interesting because these other planets are not in a good mood, but Venus is in a good mood. So what you want to do is kind of hang out with her. You know, you want to say, okay, so we're not in a good mood. You know what I really want to do? I want to go do this and go do what you want to do, even if other people don't. And have a good time. Remove yourself because the group energy can be a little contentious this week. This weekend, more so this weekend, not this week. Mars, very active, going from 24 Leo to 28 Leo. And so first up, on the 27th, he hits the node of fate. That was today. It was, and he kind of stimulates us moving in a new direction. He has a trine to Capito, which is saying, what groups do you want to be a part of? And that happens on the 30th. And then he has a inconjunct Chiron on the 1st. Remember, we talked about Chiron being part of this thing, even though he's kind of out there. Mars is going to come and zap him. So there can be a rewounding on the 1st of September. And then Mars parallels the nodes, catches the nodes of fate again, a second time by declination on the 1st. Again, see who you pull in. Mars is hitting the north node. So it's always pulling us in a new direction. And it may be, I want to go in this new direction. I don't want to stay here anymore. That's totally cool. Mars hitting that north node is about, I need to move this way to get what I want. I need to move this way to have my sovereignty. Mars is trine Uranus on the 2nd. And, of course, remember, there's that grand trine in fire we were talking about a few minutes ago. And it's like, oh, wow, he gets Uranus. So that's a little explosive. That's on the 2nd of February. And then he moves along on February, and he gets to he stimulates Venus, like we talked about, on the 3rd. And then he goes into Virgo bright and early on the morning of the 5th. He gets out of Leo and goes into Virgo and gets much more focused on how to do things rather than blustering around and being kind of wild and crazy. Jupiter is sextile to Saturn, and this is the 3rd and final sextile of Jupiter's journey as he goes past Saturn and he zips off into Scorpio in a few weeks. And Jupiter runs from 21 to 23 Libra. So he's got a lot of energy. He's also parallel Neptune. So Jupiter is kind of really thinking about what the new dream ahead is. And I encourage you, because Venus is happy and she's in Leo, right? She's ruling Jupiter in Libra. And Venus, remember, she had nice aspects. She's about the only one in the sky that does. So you want to talk to her about, well, what's the dream? You know I have a book proposal due in, and so I got to get it in August 27th. Well, that Jupiter's in Leo, sextile to Saturn, and we have that nice little moon in Sag, right? You want to submit proposals or ask for things or speak in service of your dream. Invite your dream to come in on some new level that it hasn't come in yet with Jupiter working with these energies and Venus in a happy, happy sign of Leo. She's really creative. Then we have Saturn. He's a little pokier. He's moving kind of slow. He's just stopped, remember, so he's really kind of still stopped at 21 Sag. So he's kind of parked at 21-12. He has a square to Vesta, and he has an inconjunct to Ceres on the 31st. So what he's doing is he's inviting us to change our home and change our diet. Excellent time in, you know, to do a releasing energy, to do a cleanse, to do a work with what do you need to clean out of your environment to have a better space for your creativity. Uranus at 28 Aries is quintile to Vesta on the 2nd, which is also, okay, if I reorganize things and kind of get them in a new way, how will they support me and what will they help me do? Neptune not doing a whole lot. He's just got some contraparallels, and he's contraparallel to Vesta. So you think about it, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune all playing with Vesta August 31st through September 3rd. So they're all saying, well, what do you need to clean out, clear out, move? And it's going to be a big move week. This Labor Day, because of the shifting of the energy, a lot of people are going to be moving out, moving in, shifting direction, shifting lifestyles, figuring out what do I need to keep, what do I want to let go of. And even if you're not moving, it's a great weekend to clear stuff out because these aspects are really helping you clear out whatever doesn't support the next life phase that you want to bring in. And Neptune is parallel Pallas Athena on the 3rd, saying to you, well, what's your vision? What's your vision for yourself? Vesta goes between 19 and 22 Virgo. And not doing a whole lot, but she's, you know, getting a lot of energy from the other planets, so she's active. And Vesta is our home and our hearts. It's also our body. It's also what we live in or the spaces we inhabit. Sometimes people, their Vestas are their cars. So like my sister for many, many years drove around, you know, recruiting. So she lived in her car. You know, her car had the best music. And, you know, I mean, Vesta was her home. So the home can be many things. So you want to kind of make a creative home on the 31st of the month as an aspect series. And then last but not least, Pallas Athena is talking to taking off and getting new things. There are still some health aspects, so any health things to the hospital. And thank you all for the prayers for my dad. He's back home again and looks in pretty good spirits. And also Admetos is stationing on the 31st. So when Admetos stations, on the 30th rather, when Admetos stations, we know there's a permanent ending of some sort, and it's in Gemini, so it's an ending of some sibling energy. And on that note, we're going to hang up and mosey off into the next part of the week as the eclipses leave us and take us off into a new place. So I encourage you to look at your personal dreams, your personal sovereignty, and to understand what beliefs of yours are changing, have changed, and continue to need to evolve and change. Huge time in our lives, huge time in our country's lives. Our vision of ourselves and our country is what we are made of. And our job is to state that loud and clear. This is my vision of what I'm going to do. This is my vision of what my country is. And, you know, if you have to stand there singing My Country, 'Tis of Thee, it's 'Tis of Me. And it's a sweet land. So let's push that energy and really give it permission to grow on this holiday ahead of us, Labor Day, celebrating the many, many people that have worked so hard in many capacities to build this country to what it is. So I sign off, and I wish you a wonderful Labor Day and a good beginning of the week. And remember, the back end of the week is to get rid of all the stuff you don't want in your life anymore. Ann Ortley signing off from the Bright Red Desk. Take care and have a great day and a good week, too. Bye.